大杉正明のクロスカルチャーセミナー
Sponsored by Olympus
Welcome to the Cross Culture Seminar. My name is Masaaki Osugi.
And I'm Susan Iwamoto.
Susan, we've done a couple of interviews, and this time I would like to ask you about your interest in Japan and Japanese culture, how it started, how it has developed so far, and so forth.
Sure.
Okay. So, when did you first take interest in Japan?
Well, let's see. That would have to be when I was 5 years old, when my family moved to Tokyo for my father's job. And we lived in the Tokyo area for about 4 years before moving back to the States. So really, before I arrived in Japan at that age, I had no idea, of course, about Japan. You know, mm-hmm. at five, I really had no idea about life in general. So everything was still new. So in a good way, I didn't have any sort of preconceived notions about what it would be like.
I see. Okay. And coming here to Japan for the first time, do you remember anything that struck you, you know, as new and surprising and you know, whether you liked it or disliked it?
Yes. Yeah? Yes. Actually, my first memory that really sticks out is maybe I may have mentioned this before on our program. But when we first moved to Tokyo, we stayed in Shinjuku at a hotel for a few weeks before we were able to move into our house, which was in a kind of quieter neighborhood in the suburbs of Tokyo. And so for the first, I'd say the first couple of weeks of school, we had to take a school bus out to the international school that my older sister and I attended. And I think it was the second day. The first day, my mother rode with us on the school bus. Everything was fine. The second day, the school bus driver dropped us off at the wrong bus stop.
So
you can imagine, dropped us off at the wrong bus stop in the middle of Shinjuku. And my mother was waiting at the correct bus stop. She saw the bus go right by without her children on it. And I do remember then, that's when I had an awareness that there was definitely a different language going on, because my older sister took my hand. So I was five, she was seven, and she took me through the streets and asked everyone that we passed by, do you speak English? Do you speak English? Until finally, we met a very nice woman who didn't really speak English, but she took us into a local shop and talked to the people there. And my sister remembered the hotel we were staying at, so they walked us back. And then we met up with my mother along the way, and I've never seen such a look of relief on my mother's face. Can you imagine just arriving in a country and losing two of your children, you know, within the first 2 weeks?
Right.
So at that time, that was a very very vivid memory mm-hmm. that it was a different mm-hmm. culture, mm-hmm. For sure, you know, just in the terms of living in such a big city and having a different language.
That's right. Yeah, I'm sure you were feeling very insecure, worried, helpless.
Well, in a sense, but actually I was very lucky because my sister was very calm. Mm. And then we were both very lucky because, you know, there are so many kind people. And that's, you know, the even bigger impression, especially a big impression that it made on my parents, that how safe it was. And that, you know, their two little girls, again, who are 5 and 7 years old, could walk into a shop and get help and that they wouldn't have to worry. That was an image, of course, that, you know, really was the truth, not just an image, that made a huge impact on the way my parents certainly looked at Japan.
I see.
Very, very good experience for them.
Right. And so at age five, you came here for the first time and lived for how many years did you say?
4 years.
4 years.
Yep. So I started school uh-huh. Here in Japan. So it was, again, at an American school. Started kindergarten and then finished third grade and went back to the States to start fourth grade elementary school.
Uh-huh. Well, of course, during that those 4 years, you must have tried a lot of different things from Japanese food to things Japanese like. Did you go to a public bath, a sento? Did you get the chance?
Yes, actually, the first chance was actually our final year in mm-hmm, Japan. Mm-hmm. My parents decided to take us on a trip to Kyoto. And so we went down, the six of us all together, went down and decided to stay at a ryokan the first night.
Right.
So they had a bath there. You know, I think, you know, thinking back, I thought it was hot springs, but it probably was just a sento, I guess. We went in there, and I just remember that it was so hot. The water was so hot. My mother was really worried that it would be too hot for us. Mm-hmm. So we just sort of stuck our toes into the water. And I don't think we actually went in. And unfortunately, I guess, I don't remember a lot of what happened that night, but it wasn't such a good experience, I guess. So the next day we went to a different hotel. I do remember that part.
Oh, okay.
So that was my one and only experience with a public bath, I guess, in Japan.
Oh, right.
Until
communal
I came back. Exactly.
Bathing, I see.
Exactly.
All right. Uh-huh. Do you remember what kind of Japanese food you liked at the time?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
I was a huge fan of soba.
Oh.
Loved soba. Was a regular at our soba shop whenever I could, you know, scrape up the money or my parents would take us there. My older sister and I sometimes would spend some of our allowance money by going to the local soba shop. And actually, octopus. You know, we were able to try some sushi and sashimi. You know, I mean, we didn't really have it for dinner on a regular basis or anything like that. But I do remember that I really liked tuna and I really liked octopus, which, of course, then moving back to the States, you know, I think at the time I didn't realize that it would be considered a so-called strange type of food, that in the view of American kids, because it was just another food choice. But going back to the States and meeting American kids, they thought that was really odd, you know, when we talked about that. There are so many, you know. Uh-huh, I think my taste buds were set during that time in Japan, I think.
Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah. All right. When you say soba, mm-hmm. Is that Japanese soba?
Yes, Japanese soba.
Cold soba or hot?
Both, actually. Uh-huh. And the interesting thing is when we moved back to the States, it was really hard to find cold soba in particular, especially at Japanese restaurants, because they would only serve it in the summer and only sometimes, you know. So that was one of those elusive things that we couldn't find very easily.
I see.
Yeah, but either one. I loved noodles in general. Udon was great.
Okay.
You know, yakisoba at the festivals, things
right.
like that.
Yeah.
Anything that had to do with noodles. Yeah.
Right. I'm just curious, but when you tried soba for the first time, of course you slurped or you didn't slurp?
That's a good question. You know, I don't remember about that in particular, but what I do remember is right before we were moving back to the States, my mother actually had to tell my sisters and me about some of the differences in table manners, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at the time, I can't remember if we were really slurping, but I do know that we would pick up our bowls and drink out of them, which is perfectly fine, you know, in Japan with certain dishes, of course, but not okay in the States, you know.
Right.
So my parents didn't mind because, you know, in a sense, it was a little bit when in Rome do as the Romans do in that case. But my mom, I remember my mom telling us that when we moved back to the States, we would have to keep our bowls on the table and use spoons again and that sort of thing. So we were prepared for our move back. Yeah.
Okay, I see. That's very interesting. なかなか面白いお話でですね、もう一回くらいこういうテーマで話を聞いてみたいなという気がしますが、さて、5歳でですね、初めて日本に来て4年ほど住んだということですけれどもね、最初のエピソードのインターナショナルスクールなんでしょうけれども、あれ、私もよくですね、都内でバスを見かけますけれどもですね、運転手さんが間違えて違うバス停で降ろしちゃったっていうことですよね。で、お母さん迎えに出ていらっしゃったわけですが、違うバス停で待ってるわけですよね。相当この不安だったんだろうと思うんですが、そうでもなかったっていうね、ことで、お姉さんが非常に落ち着いてらっしゃったということと、親切にですね、連れてってくれて、お店まで連れて、それでまあ、事なきを得たって言いますかね。そういう周りに親切な人もいたからっていうことで、トラウマにはならなかったということらしいんですけどね。さあ、それで意外にもですね、一番その頃で好きだったと覚えているのは蕎麦だっていうんですよね。本当に。で、まあ私はずるずるやったかどうかっていうのを聞いたわけですが、あまり覚えてないっていうんですね。それより、丼から直接、まあ、おつゆ飲んだりしますよね。あれは、アメリカ帰ったらやっちゃダメよっていうんで、当然のことながら普通、欧米式のテーブルマナーですと、お皿や食器の類は持って食べるんじゃなくて、テーブルに置いたまんまで、スプーンやフォークで食べるわけですから、日本の食習慣ではこれ逆で、器は持って、って食べた方がいいわけなんですね。でなかなか鋭いところをやはりですね、お母さんは見抜いていらっしゃったという気がしますけどね。さあ、 面白いお話でしたが、Let's go on to the phrases.
Okay, the first phrase is to jog one's memory. To jog one's memory. This means to try to remember something or to help remember something, to stimulate the memory in a way. So, for example, you could say, maybe looking at these photos will jog your memory of that trip.
Mm. これちょっと面白い表現だと思うんですね。Jog っていうのはジョギングのジョグですから、J-O-G ですね。で、誰々さんのメモリー、記憶をジョグするって。ね、面白いですね。これで記憶を掘り起こすというような意味でですね、今の例文ですと、まあ、写真見てたら記憶を呼び起こすとか呼び覚ますとか、まあ、いろんな日本語が対応すると思うんですけれども、動詞がジョグというところが面白いですよね。もう一度例文聞いてみましょう。
Maybe looking at these photos will jog your memory of that trip.
ということですね。All right, what's the second one?
The second one is somewhat similar. It's to refresh one's memory. So this is another expression that means, you know, to help recall something, to help remember something. Now, you can use refresh one's memory in a variety of ways. One of the ways you can use it is as a reply. So, for example, your friend could say, do you remember that friend that we met at the party? And then you could say, if you don't remember clearly, you could say, refresh my memory, which means help me remember. So tell me something about that person.
なるほど。この表現は私自身も結構よく使いますね。refresh one's memory。ね。日本語ですと、記憶をフレッシュにするというふうに言ってもおかしくないかもしれませんね。記憶を新たにする。というような意味で、refresh one's memory。ね。とてもよく使う表現ですね。今のようにですね、相手に向かって、まあ、いわゆる軽い命令形でですね、Oh, refresh my memory と思い出させてよといったところなんですね。そんな風に使うこともできますね。ではもう一度聞いてみましょう。
Okay, so if your friend says to you, Oh, do you remember my friend from that party? You can say, refresh my memory.
とこういうわけですよね。Alright, see you next time.
Thanks for listening.
大杉正明のクロスカルチャーセミナー。
Sponsored by Olympus.
クロスカルチュラルセミナーをお聞きの皆さん、いつもありがとうございます。皆さんはどうやって語学学習をしていますか？ラジオ講座などで勉強している方もたくさんいらっしゃると思いますが、いつも聞いているラジオ番組が聞けないこともあるでしょう。そんな時の強い味方がオリンパスのラジオサーバー VJ10 です。ハードディスク付きラジオレコーダーで最大約2500時間も録音できるんです。1日24時間それでいくと何日録音しっぱなしでいいのみたいなね。AM、FM チューナーにステレオスピーカー付きですよ。20件の番組予約も OK。 録音した番組の早聞き遅聞きやリピート再生も可能で、語学学習にドンピシャリ。すごいなこれは。しかも早聞き遅聞き再生は2倍速から 0.5 倍速までの9段階に対応。パソコンとの接続も OK なので、ポッドキャスト番組はもちろん、音楽もダウンロードして聞くことができますよ。ラジオサーバー VJ10 はオリンパスのオンラインショップか三省堂書店でお買い求めいただけます。詳しくは voicetrek.jp にアクセス。さあ、これであなたの語学学習もきっと変わりますよ。Olympus.